Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle with them the fire of your love. Holy Spirit, thank you for the most beautiful gift you've given so many of us, the gift of tongues. And help us to understand this gift in a deeper way today. We surrender this time, this talk, and every one of us here. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit. You take over. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we cannot speak, we cannot listen. So please, Holy Spirit, take over this entire session. And we pray that by this evening, those who have not received this gift yet, receive it. And those who have received it, may deepen this gift. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. See, when we talk about tongues, you may get the idea that the whole charismatic renewal is about tongues. And most people think of charismatics as tongue speakers. But the real important thing is not the gift of tongues, but the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. In fact, more important than all the gifts is the fruit of the Spirit. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, that although the gift of tongues is a beautiful gift in itself, it must not be considered as a higher order than the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, and the segments of love, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. So we need to get our priorities right. So when we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are asking for the release of the power of the Holy Spirit, which we received in the sacrament of baptism and confirmation. And then the icing comes with the cake. No? The tongues and all the other gifts come with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's focus today on the gift of tongues more than the other gifts. This is the most misunderstood gift. If bread and wine could be lifted to a new meaning when they are brought to the Eucharist, and water has a new meaning when it's poured in baptism, and oil has a new meaning when it's used for anointing, so also speech can be sacramentalized and spiritualized. And that's exactly what happens in the most beautiful charismatic gift, the gift of tongues. So you could be a great linguist and speak many languages, but that is not a charism. Although it's a beautiful skill, like just as a skill of a doctor or a surgeon that heals is not a charism. Like how a person lays his hands on people and heals them instantaneously, that is a charism. And so the word charism comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. Not only grace, deeper way, a product of grace. It's not a product of human effort. It's not a product of either studying or learning, but instant acquisition. Whether it's healing, prophecy, tongues, whatever. Instant acquisition. Now, of all the gifts, the most misunderstood of all the gifts is the gift of tongues. And there are people who are not familiar with this charismatic renewal, who are ignorant of the charismatic theology, ignorant of scripture, who come to a prayer meeting and they hear people praying in tongues or singing in tongues, and they say these people are crazy. But let me tell you what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speaking tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your mind? So who's the one, St. Paul says, who thinks you are crazy? He says it's an outsider, an unbeliever who will think you are crazy, and who does not have this gift. Because the one who has these gifts will never think you're crazy. It's the ones who don't have this gift of tongues who may think you're crazy. The point is, once you have experienced these gifts in his fullness, once you know how beautiful this gift is, then you really understand that this is something so precious, something desirable. And Paul goes further and says, do not despise the gifts of tongues. It's a very precious gift. Because in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5, he said, I would like all of you, not some of you, but I would like all of you to have the gift of tongues. And further in verse 18, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And now that sets the biblical attitude for you and me to desire this gift of tongues. And in spite of scripture, people still reject it, or they think it's unnecessary. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 11, pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, all the charismatic gifts, which includes tongues. He said, seek them with all your heart. You're not going to receive all of them, but seek them. And some people are a little worried. They say, if I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I didn't receive the gift of tongues, does it mean that I didn't receive the Holy Spirit? No, that's a misconception. Even if you have not received the gift of tongues, you still have the Holy Spirit working in you. How? By the fruits. As I say, more than the gifts, the fruits are important. Tongues is only a sign. Now, some people may say it is the least of all the gifts. Some say it's the greatest of all the gifts. Like in one sense, it is the least of the gifts. But in another sense, it is the greatest of all the gifts, depending on how you look at it. Praying in tongues. Why is it the least? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues, why is it the least? It's because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, for those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God, for nobody understands them, since they are talking mysteries in the spirit. So since nobody understands them, they don't benefit by it. But he says those who speak in tongues, those who prophesy, speak to other people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. So they are edified. So what Paul is saying is, when I speak in tongues, it's not going to affect, when I pray in tongues, it's not going to affect anyone, because it's for me. It's for my personal benefit, for my personal improvement. So in that sense, you may think it's the least, because it's not communitarian. It does not build up community. But at the same time, it's the greatest gift, because it is prayer. If you pray in tongues, even for a few moments, what are you doing? You are glorifying God. And the glory you give to God is greater than anything else, even healing. So now Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, because that church was full of gifts, the church in Corinth, but somehow they were all kind of out of line. And so what Paul is saying, you have the gift, but you are getting out of line. So pull up your socks, get back in line. I'm going to explain to you about this gift. And that's why he speaks so much about tongues in this 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. What is Paul saying in verse 2? Paul is saying, when you are praying in tongues, nobody's going to understand them, since they are talking and speaking mysteries in the spirit. Many people say, what these people are talking nonsense, we don't understand anything. You're not supposed to understand, because it is in praying in tongues, it's my spirit that encounters God's spirit, and God understands. So praying in tongues is man speaking to God. Speaking in tongues, that is prophesying, it is God speaking to man through an individual to the whole prayer group or the whole assembly. And so unless somebody has the gift of interpretation, you should not prophesy, not speak in tongues, because you prophesy, nobody can interpret it, and nobody understands what is being said. So Paul is saying, don't then prophesy. And then he goes further and he says in verse 22, tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Because when you prophesy, the unbelievers, when they come, say, what is he talking? You know, you won't understand. So it's for believers. But this beautiful thing Paul says, it's a sign for unbelievers. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. Now, many people today criticize the gift of tongues and say, what are these people? They don't understand what you're saying. In Pentecost, it was something else. Well, what happened at Pentecost is another method of tongues. It is not praying. It is not speaking. But Paul says it was used as a sign for unbelievers. God used that tongue to bring many. Because at that time, many had collected in Jerusalem. They had come for one of the festivals. There was a convention, you could say. And they heard them speaking in their own language. And they were so, so edified by it. They were like, what are these guys talking in our language? They don't even know that language. And all those from Mesopotamia, Asia Minor, Persians, they said, how do you Galileans speak in our language? They didn't study our language. And yet they are communicating the power of God to us in our language. And that's a miracle. And they were so amazed. And they all converted. They wanted to know more and more about Jesus. And they said, what must we do to get what you've got? So this outpouring of the Spirit led to conversion, led to the unsaved Christians to become Christians. And this particular gift is a very rare gift. And we today in the church need to pray for this gift, that when we speak in tongues, people or unbelievers, non-Christians, understand it in their language, and they will want to know who this Jesus is. And I'm just longing for this gift, praying for this gift, that this gift will soon manifest, especially in this pandemic time when everybody is so confused. So there may be many conversions. Now, I just want to help each one of you, okay? Now, when you first received the gift of tongues, it was the level of Babel. Kira, Masha, Kira, Tona, just a Babel. It was not a language, but it is still a prayer. Because when you are babbling prayerfully, see, that's so important. You can babble not prayerfully. And you can think it's tongues. No. That babble has to be babbled prayerfully. Even during intercession, when you are interceding and said, let's pray in tongues, it has to be done prayerfully. Otherwise, it has no meaning. So when you pray in tongues, it has to be, when you babble in tongues, it has to be done prayerfully. And this babble is not a language, but you're babbling prayerfully. It may sound silly. It's not feeding you spiritually, so you want to give up. And many people give up. They say, what am I talking? Some two, three words, syllables. No, you need to continue. Because you know what? That is the gift of tongues, but it is at the paralinguistic level. It is at the sublinguistic level, you know. So it is, and that sublinguistic level happens at the beginning. It is just the beginning of the gift of tongues. But that gift has to be developed. Unfortunately, many stop at the first level and have never gone beyond it. Just the same two or three syllables we continue with thing. But no, you need to break through that level and come to the second level, which is the linguistic level. And how do you come to that second level? If you use the first level, that is a sublinguistic level, prayerfully for a number of weeks, frequently, every day, you will find a change slowly taking place in your articulation. And then you will slowly be going from one level, that is from the sublinguistic level to the linguistic level, and it will become a real, real language. There are verbs, pronouns, all of that. So we need, tonight we pray that we move from the Babel to a real language. Now, you know, in the States, some beautiful healings, some beautiful miracles I got to hear of, you know. And there was this Japanese Catholic who had married this Buddhist girl. And one day he forced her to go for the prayer meeting. And she was a little upset, but she went with anger. And, you know, they were kneeling there. And the whole congregation was praying in tongues. And suddenly the lady behind started speaking. And this lady was so shocked, this Buddhist girl, she looked behind and she kept telling her, how do you know? the name of the temple which I secretly visit in Tokyo. Who are you? Why are you calling me? And that lady said, I don't even know you. No, but God was speaking to this Buddhist lady through the other one behind in tongues. And she was quite shocked because all her secrets came out. And then finally, she was still confused when this lady said in Japanese, I mean, in tongues, she said, I am Jesus of Nazareth speaking. You have tried other religions. You are seeking the truth, but you have not found it. Come now to me. My heart is open to you. Come receive me. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately she gave her life to Jesus. Now you see, there are other methods not mentioned in scripture, but God is not handcuffed to scripture because God can go beyond the apostolic times. He can extend his power beyond that, and he can work new miracles every day. Now, there was another testimony of this girl who kind of, she was a drug addict, and she was, one day found in the gutter. She wanted to attempt suicide. The charismatic group found her and they gave her a bath, took her to their prayer meeting. And instantly this girl got the gift of tongues. And she was like so excited. She went to office and she told everybody how she was healed of alcohol and drug addiction without any withdrawal symptoms. And then she was so excited. She said, Lord, I want to reach out. I don't know whom to go and tell. And suddenly she saw the Lord show the face of an old man who was in hospital. So she said, I am going to go to that hospital. So she went to the hospital and she began speaking to the man. And she spoke for 1 hour. And finally, that man and his wife said, you speak beautiful Spanish. And she said, I speak Spanish. I don't even know Spanish. But what was happening? She was speaking in tongues, but they were understanding in their language. Now, that is not mentioned in scripture. On Pentecost Day, that happened. So you see how God is working miracles in this day and age to show that he's still alive. I remember once I was in the Gulf. And it was a Malayalam retreat. And since I happened to be there, they asked me whether I could help out. I said, I can only help out in counseling if anyone knows English. And so this one lady comes and she says, I know little English. I said, she knows little English and I don't know Malayalam. I don't know what's going to happen with this. So when she came, I didn't know what to talk to her, but I decided I'll just pray first. So I began praying, and I'm suddenly realizing that my tongues is not stopping. So I was praying, and after we finished praying, she stopped, and then she said, Sister, you speak lot lies. You speak lot lies. And I was like quite surprised. I said, where did I lie? How did I lie? She said, you spoke perfect Malayalam. I said, Malayalam? She said, yes. And she said, every problem that I had come to share with you, you gave me a solution through your gift of tongues. Now, I don't know Malayalam, but she understood it in that language. For 1 minute, I said, Lord, please keep that Malayalam back because I'm always with the Malayalis and I don't know. But it happened at that time. As to God is saying, I am the Lord of all languages, you know. So then there was another incident of this lady. She was like one day praying and she was so shocked that suddenly her fingers started moving in a different direction. So, and she felt a surge of power to get up and she went to the neighbor's house. And you don't go like that, but she went to the neighbor's house and she began ringing the bell. And still the fingers continued flying. The lady opened the door. And she continued with that, like, you know, those fingers. And after that, the lady ran in and called her husband. And both of them are, you know, kind of looking at her in awe. And after she finished, they said, we didn't know you were our next door neighbor. And you knew the sign language so beautifully. She says, my husband is deaf. And so I know the sign language, but you, she said, I don't know sign language. What was I saying? Saying you glorifying God so beautifully through this sign language. So what did God do? God took the gift of tongues and he turned it into the gift of hands to communicate with a deaf person who could not hear the gift of tongues. That's not mentioned in the Bible, but that shows the ingenuity of God. You know, I remember, now there is another beautiful gift. It's called a dialogic form of tongues, where two persons of the Trinity speak to each other. I was in Canada some years ago, and, you know, we had back-to-back sessions, one after the other. And I was so tired. And, you know, after preaching, they want you to lay hands, and that's even more tiring. And that evening, I said, you know, Lord, what's going to happen tonight? I'm going to preach. They're going to come and pray. I'm going to fall before they fall, Lord. I'm so tired. And I sat in the car with two of the other ladies, and I was praying in tongues. Suddenly, the lady next to me said, you speak perfect French. I said, French? I said, I was speaking in French. She said, yes, you don't know French. I said, no. I said, what was I saying? She says, there were two persons dialoguing with one another. Like one person telling the other that she's tired. They said, sister, are you tired? They're asking me. I said, yo, how do you know? She's saying one person telling the other, she's tired. She needs help. We got to help her. And the other person is saying, yes, I'm going to show up. You know, it was so beautiful, the whole dialogue. And so I realized there's another gift of tongues, which is not mentioned in scripture, and this dialogic form where you become a vehicle or you become a communicator of the two persons of the Trinity. So you see how beautiful. Then there was this another lady who, you know, she wanted to do some research on one particular disease. And so she called for reports from all over the world on the computer. They sent it to her, but she couldn't understand because they all sent it to her in their own language. And she didn't know what to do. And anyway, she prayed and she prayed. And the Lord so beautifully helped her understand everything that was mentioned in those reports. And she could go on with that research and find that disease, you know, the cure of that disease. So you see, God helped her. So God is saying, language is such a sublime thing. I want to use it for my glory. I want to use it to attract people to me. I want to use it anyway, not just the ways that Paul talks in the scripture, but every other way. And that is how this miracle of language is being used and demonstrated even today. And so how privileged we are. And so why do I need to speak in tongues? You see Jude, in the book of Jude, in verse 14, if you open, book of Jude verse 14, he says, verse 20, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Now to pray in the Spirit is a scriptural way of saying praying tongues. He talks about it as a way of building faith, particularly the charismatic gift of faith, not the virtue of faith. The virtue of faith, all of us have, we all believe that Jesus is Lord, God, we believe in the Holy Spirit. But the charismatic of gift of faith is a real gift where when I pray, cancer has to go. When I pray, mountains have to be moved. So we need to pray for that kind of faith. And Jude says you can get that kind of faith, that gift, when you are anointed to pray in tongues. You will suddenly feel a surge of power when you pray that way. And even the demons will kind of scatter, because it is not you praying, it's the Holy Spirit praying. Romans 8:26, when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays to us. So when you do not know what to say and how to say, like you want to pray for your daughter, you want to pray for your son. What should I pray for? Whom should I pray for? You're confused. Paul says when you are confused and you want to break free from that confusion, just pray in tongues. Because when you don't know what to say or how to say, let the Spirit pray through you. Let the Lord work through you, through the Holy Spirit in you. Let the Holy Spirit pray within you. And through those utterances, and your Father in heaven understands what the Spirit is praying. So this is the tremendous reason for praying in tongues. And so you see, when in the car they were discussing the dialogue form between the Trinity as to how they should help me, I was so excited when I heard that. And I just knew that they are going to work something that evening. And so I went with great excitement and I preached. And then there was a big line before me to pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, you said you will help me. And I heard a voice saying, sit down, sit down. And I'm just saying, how can I sit down? They're all standing before me, so anxious to be prayed over. What will they think of me if I sit down? I can't. The second time, sit down, sit down. I said, they'll think I'm so proud, you know, that I don't respect them, and you know. And again, the third rebuke came strong, sit down. So I just with that shock sat down. I just bowed my head and I began worshiping. Suddenly I was, you know, I went into that kind of worship, heavenly worship, where I got lost completely. I didn't know what was happening around me. I was just in the throne room. And about after 15 to 20 minutes, I suddenly came and I said, let me open my eyes. I said, oh my goodness, these people are standing. I opened my eyes to see. I was shocked at what I saw. Every single person was on the floor. And one of them screaming, my tumor is gone. My migraine is gone. My back is healed. Just looking in awe, I said, wow, Holy Spirit, I wish you would do this every time. You see, they turned up. They showed up to help me there. And then the parish priest comes and he said, what did you do to my people? You knocked them down? I didn't know what to say. I was so nervous. I said, no, Father, no, no, I didn't know. I did nothing, Father. You know, this is called anointing. Before I finished the anointing, Father fell down. And he's getting up, said, no, I didn't fall. Again, he fell down. And after that, he was so touched. He said, come, let's go to every village and start prayer meetings. And we began doing that. So you see how wonderful the Trinity is, always with us, wanting to help us. In fact, for the first 2.5 centuries of Christianity, every Christian was charismatic. There was no such thing as non-charismatic Christians in the early church. That's why Peter asked, were you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we just had the water baptism. Peter said, that's not complete. Come on, we got to lay hands on you. So they went from what? They went from baptism to confirmation. Now, this baptism, and it was later now it's sacramentalized. So we gained something in terms of ritual dignity, but we lost something in terms of expectancy of charisms, because especially the charism of the gift of tongues, when we were confirmed, when the bishop did this, we should have burst into tongues. That should be have happened so. But somehow we lost it. And praise God, to the charismatic renewal, God is bringing back all these gifts, especially the gift of tongues. Now, even Saint Dominic, who founded the Dominicans, he was sent to Germany. He didn't know the language, and that too to teach the seminarians. He prayed and he asked the Lord to help him. And from that minute, he got this language. He spoke in German perfect, and he taught all the seminarians in German. So you see, all the saints spoke in tongues. In fact, Saint Teresa of Avila, like she would say, there are utterances that transcends human speech. She would say that. What is she talking about? She's talking about tongues. Even Saint Thomas Aquinas, all of them had this gift. You can even sing in tongues. Saint Augustine would say, you know, singing is praying twice. Like there was this priest in America, he never just believed in the charismatic renewal. He believed in the renewal, but he says, what's so great about healing? Jesus can heal anyone, anytime. So he was never led to the prayer group, but one day they dragged him there and he entered the prayer group and they were all singing in tongues. When he heard that, he screamed, this is a miracle, because he was a professional musician. He said, this is a miracle for me. And they're wondering, what is a miracle like? He said, nobody can sing like this as a group without training. But look at the way they are singing in perfect harmony, which requires a lot of training. And he said, for me, this is a miracle. See how God, you know, he can get tough, stubborn people to him, if not to speaking, through singing. He will use anything, but he will get his people to him. Now, if you want the gift of tongues, you have to become like a little baby. Now, for an adult to talk like a baby, it's foolish, isn't it? But Paul says, you have to be a fool for Christ. Doesn't it sound foolish for Jesus to take spittle and mud and put it on the eyes of the blind man and tell him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam? I mean, wasn't it foolish for God to tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, not anywhere else in the River Jordan? Wasn't it foolish for Bernadette at Lourdes to drink muddy water? See, we want to do things our way. And God says, do it my way. And you say, but God, that's so artificial. God says, my will is not artificial. So all you got to do is like a baby who does not know the language, but somehow wants to praise God. See, you see that if you pray frequently, you may say, but I don't know what I'm saying. Now, when you pray the rosary, do you know what what are you doing? Those words, the Hail Marys, are vocal. But in your mind, you are contemplating on the mysteries, isn't it? The background are the words. The foreground is the meditation. Same way in the gift of tongues, the background is the word. The meditation is you are praising God through tongues. So that's why it is so powerful. You're praising God. So you don't have to worry what you're saying, but this is what is happening. Pray every, you know, you should use this gift. The Lord loves this gift. When I pray in tongues, I can see the excitement and the surge of power inside of me. One day, some prophet called me from down south and he spoke to me and he said, Hazel, I just got a message from the Lord to tell you to pray in tongues every day for 3 hours. And I obey and do it for 52 days. Why 52? I don't know. But I did it. And I want to tell you my experience in those 3 hours. I would pray. I would be lifted up into another hemisphere. I would be lifted up right into the throne room in ecstasy. Because, you know, tongues has a gift. Leads you to ecstatic experiences. In the 14th century, the Hesychastic monks, that they would go by two on the mountains. Kingalama, Kingaramaha, they would go there. And suddenly they would stop. Be still and know I am God. And they would reach to such an ecstatic level into ecstasy and they would be there quiet. And that is what the gift of tongues does. You know, that's why we charismatics don't have to be just loud speakers or praisers. This loud praising is beautiful because this loud praising brings about deliverance. But don't stop there. This loud praising should lead you to be contemplative charismatics. We have to move to that level of being contemplatives. And you can begin with tongues and then silently. And those 3 hours that the Lord told me to spend in tongues, he wanted to reveal some things of heaven to me. So that's why, my beloved, I just love the gift of tongues. I've experienced it personally. And one of my friends joined me in those 3 hours. And she too. The gift of ecstasy was transmitted to her and she would share things with me as to what happened to her in these 3 hours. So you pray frequently. Pray when you are in the car going to work. Pray when you're doing the dishes. Pray when you are reaching the children to school and back. Pray in tongues. Pray frequently. And if you can't pray loud, pray under your breath. But, you know, you will find amazing things happening to you when you start praying. Paul would say, sometimes I pray in tongues, sometimes I pray in the vernacular. Sometimes I sing in tongues, sometimes I sing in the vernacular. So you need to pray as the Spirit leads you. Okay, sometimes probably he would want you to pray in the vernacular. But just be open to him. But in my experience, I know God loves the gift of tongues. He just loves when we babble. Because even in intercession, you know, in intercession, when I pray in the vernacular, I am praying what I want to pray. But when I pray in tongues, God is praying for his intentions through me. That's why praying only in tongues is marvelous. And so if you have the gift of interpretation, it is beautiful. But you don't have to have the gift of interpretation when you're interceding, because you're just interceding in tongues and God is working in different parts of the world. you know, healing this one, healing that one, when you are here praying in tongues. Now, some of you will tonight will receive our deepening of this gift. So what you need to do, if you are already repeating the same 3-4 syllables, now you, what you do need to do tonight is articulate as many syllables as you can. Try to that new words, okay? Keep developing it, keep developing it. Like maybe you're saying ki ra pa shada, ki ra pa shada, ki ra pa shada. Suddenly you chant, nanni no shunna maraha de no pa. Change the syllables, okay? And suddenly you see the Holy Spirit taking those utterances and making it a language. They try to, in Michigan, they try to take this language and they, you know, put it forth in the computer, and they were so shocked with the results that came. There was a pronoun, there were verbs, there were adjectives, all of this was there in that. So it's a language. Then, and you know, when he saw Jesus and he just jumped in the water and said, Lord, can I come? And what Jesus said, come. Jesus didn't go there and pull Peter out. Peter stepped out in faith. So what is it? Peter stepped out. Human initiative. Yeah. And then when he was drowning, the Lord picks him up. What was that? That was a divine act. So miraculously sustaining him on the water is a divine act. So human act and divine act. Peter steps out and God supports him. So it is also with tongues. We open our mouth and speak. God makes it a charism and supernaturally a learned language. Two things are required. Your cooperation called yielding and God's cooperation called supporting. So both are needed. Both work together. Don't wait for God to speak you, for he will never do that. He will never force you. But you have already, but you open your mouth. And in my experience, mostly it begins with Kirapa, it begins with hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those have not received the gift of tongues. Hallelujah, 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 halla, hashandala, hapalaha. Go that way. Okay. Those who already have Kiramasha Tola Tina Sarapasua, go into another syllable. You're going to do it. We're going to help you today. Okay. So there'll be a deepening of it. So if you don't have it, you're preparing for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. If you already have it, you're preparing for a deepening of the gift of tongues. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.